up in our salvation, to mature in our faith. Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 4, so that we're not tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. You know what we're talking about here is spiritual battles. It's spiritual battles, it's spiritual warfare, and part of growing up in your salvation, part of maturing in the faith, is recognizing spiritual battles and battling through them. Remember that last component of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one. And his name is Lucifer. And he's the devil. And he is Satan. And he hates you. He hates you with a passion that you cannot fully understand. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates God, and he hates everything about God. And he is on a mission to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, before you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, he still hates you, but he's just not concerned about you. Because you're a follower. You're either a follower of Jesus, you're a follower of the true God, or you're not. And if you're not, then by default, you follow the prince of darkness, the prince of this world. But when you give your heart to Jesus, when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you choose to put your faith in him, then it infuses the devil with a rage that you cannot understand. Makes me think about one of my favorite Far Side cartoons. If you will notice, the deer says, "Bummer of a birthmark, Hal." Yeah, that is. That's a bad one, and we've all felt that. Other times you might feel like this, right? How does the devil fight against you? How does he come after you? Well, we talked about temptation on Sunday. When we think about temptation, often we think about some gross sin, some adultery or pornography or chemical abuse, and you fall back into alcoholism or maybe you're an angry monster and you've got bitterness and you explode all the time. These are the typical things, but while those are legitimate, as you mature in your faith, as you grow up in your salvation, you can expect those sin tendencies that we all have to get less and less strong in your life. You should expect that. That is the truth. Some are miraculously delivered. Others are not, and there's a fight. But we live in a broken world. We're in a broken body, and we're around broken people. And it's little things that can add up to a really big thing. It's what C.S. Lewis writes in his book, The Screwtape Letters. He's a demon, perhaps Satan himself, and he's writing letters to his nephew, Wormwood. He says this: when Wormwood is upset that he doesn't have, you know, some great victory out there, he says, "You'll say that these are small sins. Doubtless, like all young tempters, you're anxious to be able to report a spectacular wickedness. But do remember, the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. In this case, the enemy is God. It doesn't matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and into the nothing." Murder is no better than cards, if cards will do the trick. Indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. It's a gentle slope, a soft underfoot. No sudden turns, no milestones, no signposts. It's the gradual slope. From the very beginning, this church has been under attack. We had, I believe, with a rough kids count, we had 496. We almost hit it, Michael, on Sunday. We had 181 people in here first service and 176 in second service. That's just adults. That's crazy for a two-year-old church. It's unbelievable. God has blessed this church. And you know what happens when that happens? You pick a fight. You pick a fight with the enemy of your soul. There's a rage out there that's up against every single one of us. And if you're here on a Wednesday night, then that tells me something. Now, I see the fights probably a little bit more than anybody else because I have contact with more people. I'm the one that gets the emails that say, there's something going on in my house. I'm the one that gets the phone call when something's going on in a marriage. I'm also the one that gets to see the lives changed week after week after week. And I'm telling you, it is miraculous. It's nothing short of miraculous. And if you just looked around, the hands raised, man, that is awesome. And we praise the Lord for that. But at the same time, we have to be aware that the battle is waging. The battle is waging. It's a spiritual attack. It's not just a fight between your husband and wife. It's not just that. It's not just a fight with your boss. It's not just a fight with your coworker. It's not just your kid is being a jerk and needs a spanking. It's a spiritual battle. And the demonic forces of this world are up against you. And you need to be aware of it. But there's a plan. You don't have to be afraid. You know, the great thing about this book right here is there's an end. And we know the end. And there's victory at the end. And we don't have to be afraid. There's no fear here. You haven't been given a spirit of fear. You've been given a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. You have been given a spirit not of fear. You don't have to be afraid of this. You have to be aware of it. Because you've also been given a spirit of power. And you've been given a spirit of love. And you've been given a spirit of self-control. Now, I want to look at a couple of things first before we get into the armor of God. And the first is this. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus is baptized. This is really important. It's not in Ephesians 4, but it's critical that we understand this and that we accept it because it's true. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, verse 10, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. Do you realize that God did not send Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted until he received the Holy Spirit? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that same Spirit. It's critically important that you understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" You received it from God. That is the truth, and you need to know that. You need to be resolved in that, and you need to hold fast to that sometimes. Look at verse 11 of Mark chapter 1. A voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, and I am well pleased." When you give your heart to Jesus, When you commit your life to him and you choose to follow him and put him as the savior of your life, God says to you, I'm proud of you and I love you. I'm well pleased with you. That pleases God. All of heaven rejoices when that happens. Romans chapter 5 says God demonstrates this love that while you are still a sinner, Christ died for you. That is the truth. Look at verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. The Spirit came first. God didn't send Jesus into the wilderness until he received the Holy Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit that you and I have living inside us. We're not talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's a second work. What we're talking about is everyone who is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit living inside you, period, fact, take it to the bank. Now, there's a battle plan that we must be aware of. You'd have to be resolved in the truth. The truth will set you free, but there's a battle plan. Now, James puts it this way. Resist the devil, and he will flee you. Okay, well, that's great, James, but how do you do that? Well, to be fair, he actually puts some bread around the meat of that sandwich. He says this, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. You see, the importance of the bread in that sandwich is you must draw near to God. And when you draw near to God, he will draw near to you, and he will give you the power to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee you. That is the truth. Paul gives us the full armor, though. So let's look at it together in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, there's a lot in just these two verses here. First, be strong in the Lord. You have to be strong in the Lord. It's not your strength. By your strength, you will be defeated. You don't have it in you. The devil is way too powerful, and you cannot stand up against him in your own power. But you don't have to. You can stand in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What are the devil's schemes? Well, we just started the NFL. And tongue in cheek here, the devil really only has about 4 or 5 plays. Okay? Now, if the Packers only had 5 plays, they'd be like the Bears. They would lose every single time. But isn't it funny? The devil has 4 or 5 plays, and he wins more than he loses. Let's look at Luke chapter 4. We'll get a chance to see his plays. This is Jesus being tempted. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end, this is kind of a funny statement here, at the end of the 40 days, he was hungry. So it's just, that's the truth. The truth will set you free. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Okay, what are the devil's schemes here? He attacked Jesus' character. You ever had your character attacked? You ever had your character attacked by a close friend? You ever had your character attacked by your spouse? I haven't. How about your mother-in-law? No. Come on now. Come on now. Come on now. This is funny. We're family here. We're family. Family. You ever had your character attacked? Yeah, you have. It's terrible, isn't it? It hurts your heart, and it puts you on defense. If you're playing defense, you're not playing offense. And you have to be aware of that. It's a cheap shot. And then you can sit down and you can overanalyze it. What do you mean by that? How come you say that? Don't you know that I, can't you see that? He was attacked where he was vulnerable. Food, in his case. Tell the stone to become bread. Where are you most vulnerable? Do you get angry easily? Guys, are you addicted to sensuality? Are you chemically addicted? Do you give in to temptation where you're vulnerable? Listen, you got to know where you're vulnerable. Verse 5. The devil led him to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It's been given to me. And that's true. The devil rules this world. You see that? All of the kingdoms of this world have been given to the devil. If you worship me, it will all be yours. What's the devil's schemes? He tempts you with power. He tempts you with position. He tempts you with status. Well, I know I need to go to church, but I really want that promotion. I know I can't afford it, but I really want that boat, and I'll just work more hours. I'll get more overtime. I really want that other man's wife. It tempts you with power and status. Husbands and wives, who made you boss? Who put you ruler over me? I earn just as much income as you do. You can come against the plan of the Lord. You walk right into his trap. Verse 9, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift up you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. What's the devil's schemes here? Do you know that the devil can use Christians? Did you know the devil can use the Word of God? The devil can use a Christian author book to deceive you just enough out of context scripture to tell you what your tickling ears want to hear, and the next thing you know, you're way out there, completely outside the boundaries of scripture, and you are in jeopardy of losing your soul. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wake you up. Because there's a battle that's waging, and you must be aware of it. Back to Ephesians 6. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your spouse. It's not your coworker. It's not your kids. It is rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Did you realize that just like there are angels in heaven that rejoice whenever someone comes to Christ, there are legions of demons, fallen angels, Some of them are so bad that God has locked them up. And when the rapture comes and the tribulation starts, they're going to be loosed on this world, and I'm telling you, you want no part of it. You think it's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. But even now, there are demons all over the place. You probably, no doubt, come across them. You ever walk into somebody's house and you just know, oh my goodness, there's something not right here. And I'm not just talking about a pentagram on the wall. I'm talking about there's something alive in here and I can't see it, but that doesn't make it not real. That's a spiritual problem. It's spiritual darkness. It's forces in a dark world. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God. When you pray in the morning, you got to put this on. You got to put on every single piece so that when the day of evil comes. You know, we're knocking on the door of 200 people in 2 years that have been baptized in water. That doesn't count all the people that have given their hearts to the Lord, redirected their life, and are living in disobedience because they haven't yet been baptized. And we do simple stuff here. We read the Bible, we explain the Bible, we pray, we worship. We're a family here. We serve. We share the gospel. We baptize people and we teach them to obey. That ain't rocket science, but it's effective. Every Sunday, it's effective. Wednesday nights, if you're a regular here, you know that God is alive in this place every Wednesday night. And you keep coming back because you want to be here. You want to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit because there's power here. When the day of evil comes, it's here. You'll be able to take your stand. And after you've done everything else, you just stand there. You stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, Paul is in prison here. And some scholars believe that he's looking at this Roman guard, this Roman soldier who is chained to him, and we joke about, you know, it's one thing to be chained to a Roman soldier, it's another thing to be chained to Paul, right? But he's looking at this Roman soldier, and he's thinking about the battle, and he's looking about how this soldier is dressed, and when you're girded up with that belt, you are getting prepared for the battle. It's like you're getting yourself ready. It's the belt of truth. The truth will set you free. It is the critical piece right out of the gates. The worship team can come as we wrap this up. The breastplate of righteousness. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it the wellsprings of life flow. Righteousness. Are you living a life of righteousness? Or do you have junk in your life? Because if you've got junk in your life, you're going to be weak in the battle. And you've got to have that breastplate in place. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This isn't you running to the battle. No, this is you standing firm. It's cleats. It's clenched into the ground so that you can stand. These are defensive postures. Above, in addition to this, you take the shield of faith. And with it, you can extinguish the fiery darts that are coming at you. You got to know who you are in Christ. You got to know that you're called to do something here. You got to know that there's a bigger plan and there's something that you can't see and it's out there. And even though you can't see it, and there's fog, and there's doubt, and there's confusion, but you say, no, God has called me here, and he's got me on a mission, and I'm going. And I don't care what darts are coming at me, I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to stand with the shield of faith in front of me, and I'm not going to let them come through. I'm not going to let them do that. No, I'm going to stand firm, and I'm going to go on the offensive and get the job done. Woo! And the helmet of salvation, these mind games, these battles that go on in the mind, you think you're a Christian, God couldn't love you because you did this, I can't believe you did that, boy, you sure blew it yesterday, boy, how in the world could God use you to do that, you know you can't do that, you know you're too weak, you know you don't have the education, you know you don't have the pedigree, boy, you didn't have parents that loved you, boy, you didn't have this, and you didn't have that, that is a lie from the devil, and he's the father of lies, and all he ever does is lie, and if you don't have that helmet on, then you are not prepared for the battle.
Yeah. Say that again. Come on.
And the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And this isn't a wielding sword. No, this is a dagger. And it's for close warfare. And it's for those times when they're coming at you, Chris. He's coming at you, and it's one-on-one, and you're not going to have Mary there, and you're not going to have Adam there. It's going to be you and him, and if you're not prepared with your sword and your dagger, then you're not prepared for the battle. And you can't afford to not be prepared for the battle. How did Jesus win? It is written, man should not live on bread alone. It is written, worship the Lord God and serve him only. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had finished, he left him.
Yes.
And pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert. Always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. It's the belt of truth. Get that belt on. God, I pray you would prepare me with the belt of truth. I know whose I am. I'm going to live a pure life. And I'm going to guard my heart. God, help me to guard my heart. God, help me to be firmly fitted, because if God be for me, who can be against me? Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. That is the truth. I can't see where I'm going. It's a foggy road. It's been a long time since I've had a job. But you know what? God's called me, he's got me, and I don't know where he's taking me, but I know I'm going with him. I know it. I know it. I'm not going to let these lies get in. I'm not going to let the doubts come in. I'm not going to let the confusion get in. No, I'm resolved, because it's true, because your word of God says it's true. And I'm going to do battle today. I'm going to do battle in the Word. I'm going to do battle on my knees. That is the armor of God. And for the next 7 weeks, we're going to take them piece by piece by piece. It's going to be awesome. And I want to encourage you to be here, because you need it. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have given us your Word. And you warn us that there are attacks coming. But we don't have to be afraid, because you've already won the battle and you've given us the pieces so that we don't have to have fear, but we can have victory. We have victory in Jesus, because God, you have already gone before us. You've already won the battle. It is finished means it is finished. And so God, I'm going to stand firm in that. Prepare us for the battle. God, may we stand. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.